For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Kevin McAleese. U.S. President Donald Trump is one step closer to replacing Obamacare, the controversial health care reforms implemented by his predecessor. The House of Representatives has approved President Trump's latest plan by a margin of just 4 votes. Our Washington correspondent Simon Marks reports.
After weeks of uncertainty, President Trump managed to overcome the opposition of his fellow Republicans in sufficient numbers to get the bill passed. But it still faces enormous obstacles in the Senate. Republicans there are even less bullish about the changes the president wants to make to the Obamacare program. But President Trump has won a battle, and knowing that he might still lose the war, he's celebrating now. Simon Marks, Washington.
And after his win on Capitol Hill, Donald Trump headed to New York for the first time since he became the 45th president of the United States for a face-to-face meeting with the Australian Prime Minister. The two leaders met before attending a ceremony on the USS Intrepid aircraft carrier to mark the 75th anniversary of the Battle of the Coral Sea. The last time the two men spoke back in January, reports said the conversation was strained as they argued over a deal to resettle refugees in the United States. But when the two men met ahead of the event, they both dismissed that there'd been a falling out. Instead, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull congratulated the president on clearing the first major hurdle for his party's healthcare bill.
Well, congratulations on your vote today.
Thank you very much. That was great. Yeah. Big day.
Big day.
A big day.
Yeah, and every vote counts.
Every vote. We got it. We had a couple left over if we wanted them, but we didn't need them. It was a very big day. Really, yeah, great. I appreciate your waiting.
President Trump is meeting with the leaders of the Gulf countries and other regional leaders during a visit to Saudi Arabia. His first foreign trip later this month will also include talks in Israel and with the Pope, arranged alongside his appearance with G7 leaders meeting in Italy. From Washington, Daniel Renches reports.
White House officials say there's a multifaceted strategy to fight radical ideologies long-term, cutting off funding sources, stopping the funding of recruiting organizations, especially aimed at the youth, asking other countries to shoulder more of the burden, and fighting groups like Al-Qaeda and the Islamic organization successfully on the battlefield. There's a clear attempt to use Gulf countries' fear of Iranian hegemony in the region to gain traction on these objectives. The US will also be initiating efforts led by the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, to reach a settlement between Israel and the Palestinians. Daniel Renches, Washington.
And for all the latest breaking news and features, you can follow our team of international reporters on Twitter at Feature Story News. And you can also find us on Facebook / Feature Story News. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you very much, Kevin, and good afternoon to you. It's Friday, May 5th, 2017. Unusual programme this. In lieu of me missing Tuesday's programme, we're not idle, we're not born idle here. A special programme today looking at some of the big stories today. Very timely, in fact. Lots to talk about. This is Friday View, we'll call it. A one-off programme. Thanks for tuning in. Brought to you in association with davidicke.com, with Fab Radio 2. We're on TuneIn Radio as well. By the way, bookmark at davidicke.com/headlines. Pretty much everything I talk about in this hour is covered in great detail on davidicke.com.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. The Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Now, of course, for the next 1 hour or thereabouts, a little bit less, maybe a little bit more, I never know, Twitter is open to you to comment on the stories being discussed. So it's at Richie Allen Show. That's the Twitter handle. So basically put a message to at Richie Allen Show. It gets to me. I'll read it out. And it doesn't have to be about what's on this programme. You can make a comment on whatever you think is appropriate today. Friday, May 5th, as I said, beautiful day in Manchester. Glorious day. Been up since the crack of dawn, out and about in Platt Fields and Alexandra Park. Wonderful day today. So let's just get on with the old programme then. Again, stay in touch with our broadcast partners. Right now, unless you're listening to the podcast, we are live on davidicke.com, on Fab Radio 2 and TuneIn Radio, as well as richieallen.co.uk. Do check out richieallen.co.uk. 5 past 12, it is noon this Friday. Now, you'll be aware, if you're in the UK, that the local and mayoral elections took place across the country yesterday. Early results show the Conservative Party have made gains, Labour have lost ground, UKIP has been wiped out, and it wasn't great for the Lib Dems either. Bear in mind, a lot might change. When I say a lot might change, there are other results to come in after this programme finishes, namely the result of the mayoral election for Greater Manchester. Okay, so don't think I'm, you know, not behind the eight ball, as it were. I am. I'm live as I record this. So things are changing as I speak. Now, local elections, wherever they occur, the Republic of Ireland, the UK, Spain, they're a yardstick to measure where the parties are. And with these results, it's now pretty clear that the Conservatives will increase their majority after the general election in June. Okay? I know it's a dangerous thing these days to make predictions about who might win elections and by how much. I'm well aware of it. But I think it's pretty clear the Conservatives will increase their majority after the general election in June, unless some more unforeseen circumstances take place between now and then. Now, from the point of view of the UK leaving the EU, and that's pretty much, for the moment, all that I'm interested in. From that point of view, it looks very much like the parties who oppose leaving the European Union, the Lib Dems and the Labour Party, it looks like they're going to lose big in June. At least it does today, anyway. Now, we believe on this programme, and you won't be surprised to hear this because you listen to our show and to our guests, that the UK leaving the EU is the single most important thing to happen in terms of stopping or slowing down the cabal's march to the centralisation of power agenda, which they are doing through continental political unions and trade agreements, NAFTA and TTIP and all of that. So the UK leaving the EU is hugely important. Okay, what these people want is a one world government. These unions are hugely important to that. So the UK leaving is massive. Tell us something we don't know, Richie. Right, I'm building up to something here. So the poor showing of Labour and the Lib Dems, I think you have to say, all things being equal, is a testament to the determination of the people of this country to get out of the European Union. So what about UKIP then? They had a bad time of it yesterday as well. Well, people probably see UKIP as job done, probably. I don't know. I'm only guessing. I haven't met too many UKIP voters where I live. Then again, I haven't met many voters where I live, it must be said. UKIP pressured for the referendum. They got it. Maybe they're not seen as a domestic party. In all likelihood, that might be the case. UKIP voters who listen to this programme, feel free to abuse me as much as you like. That's just my take on it. Anyway, so it looks like Theresa May will get a free run at negotiating the UK's exit from the European Union. And she won't have to do that with a reduced majority or a minority government. She might have a landslide in June. She might not. If she doesn't, I tell you what, going on these results, you'd have to ask some serious questions of the integrity of the process. That's just going on the local election results. Now, before you scream at me, I'm well aware of who the Conservative Party is. I'm well aware that they broke election rules. I'm aware of the massive scandal involving loans to the party, HSBC up to their bloody necks in it. The Tories undoubtedly breaking the law in the 2015 election. I'm well aware of it. I'm well aware of the fact that this particular government is hell-bent on destroying welfare. It's hell-bent on selling the National Health Service, killing off the disabled and the elderly. It is. I'm well aware of it. They really are. This is who these people are. I'm not endorsing them at all. But their predecessors, Labour under Brown and Blair, the same people. David always says two masks on the same face. It's a fact. So no matter what you do, it's tyranny, misery and austerity. No matter what you do. But here's why it's so important that Theresa May continues with the mandate that she's asked for to do what she believes is right for the UK, which is leave the single market and leave the European Union. So on that issue alone, I'll tell you why I think it's important. Because Theresa May's bosses, the hidden hand, the unseen, the people who control and manipulate her and others, who basically dictate policy, they want the UK to remain in the European Union. We know this. Okay? So if May has an increased majority, or even a massive majority, what are they going to do about it? And that's what we have to watch carefully. You know, subscribers to davidicke.com will see that constantly. You've got to watch what's being said and by whom. May has said leave means leave. As I just said, the UK outside the single market, outside the customs union, free to do trade deals with whomever it feels it should do trade deals with, and free to place restrictions on migration. Now that's hugely important. What will those who control people like Theresa May do when she wins a majority? If she wins a majority. And again, I'm not deaf. I hear you loud and clear. You're telling me every night on this programme, Richie, the majority is really about Syria. And we're being fooled again. That even with a massive majority this June, this election, the cabal can delay the negotiations forever. You're telling me the European Union has even begun to say there can be a transitional agreement to give the negotiations more time. I hear you. I totally get this. I think I get it anyway, as much as anybody else gets it. In other words, the European Union can delay it long enough for Labour to produce a centre-left groomed man or woman, another centrist, to sell the country on the need to stay in the European Union. I'm not stupid. And in the meantime, you're telling me, and I think you've got a point, another false flag chemical attack can be blamed on Bashar al-Assad. May can call for a vote on intervening, and she has a massive majority. And it's easy. Now, this is all very possible. That's why I'm talking about it today. It's massively important. Massively important. 13 minutes past the hour. So Labour and Jeremy Corbyn then. Disastrous day for Labour and Jeremy Corbyn. They're heavyweights, the top shadow cabinet. Labour stalwarts have been doing the rounds of the media this morning to talk about what happened in the local elections. Now, Shadow Chancellor and Jeremy Corbyn's, I suppose his oldest friend, John McDonnell, actually blamed the media for people not knowing Jeremy Corbyn and who Jeremy Corbyn is. Listen to this. It's a couple of minutes long, this, but well worth a listen.
What about support for your leader? I mean, one candidate, and you can pick this up from just about any newspaper you like this morning, but one candidate telling the Times today that Jeremy Corbyn is radioactive on the doorstep.
Oh, I can understand any candidate who's lost. I can understand their disappointment. But you look at South Wales. He campaigned in Cardiff. He campaigned in South Wales. And again, we're not having the threatened doom and gloom that the pollsters and others predicted.
And yet, on the results in so far, and I know there's a lot more still to come, there's an average swing from Labour to the Conservatives since 2013 of 7%.
Well, we'll see as the other results come in, particularly in the northwest. Remember, the Tories have targeted the northwest in particular, both in Manchester, and we'll see the Manchester result this afternoon, and Liverpool, and I think that will balance things up. We'll see. But as I say, what's happening, it's interesting, and as our campaign gets more airtime, because we're on a general election campaign, we're finding support for our policies, and as Jeremy gets more airtime, I think people are beginning to see the real Jeremy Corbyn's character emerge and being supportive. That's why, by the way, we want the debate on TV with Theresa May, because there's this contrast between an open, campaign on behalf of the Labour Party, Jeremy touring around, meetings open to everybody, meeting people out in large meetings out in open air as well, with this robotic campaign from the Conservatives. And we're saying, look, let's have a proper democratic debate, have the televised debate between the leaders, between the Prime Minister and Jeremy Corbyn, and let people see both the policies and the character of the individuals.
Lucy.
John McDonnell, you say that people need more time to see Jeremy Corbyn and hear about his policies. He's been Labour leader for almost 2 years now. This is the third year in a row that Labour's lost ground in the local elections. That is unprecedented for any party in opposition. Doesn't that say something about Labour's longer-term prospects?
I think it says something about the way the media have covered him. Now we're in a general election campaign and the media are forced to give some balance, the televised broadcast media. I think what you're seeing is the advocacy of our policies is that we're picking up support, and as Jeremy gets more media time, people are seeing the real character of the man, this decent, honest, strong leader in terms of principles and how to go forward. In that way, I think you'll see, particularly once we launch our manifesto, you'll see this, well, the whole campaign begin to turn the tide.
Is he honest, though? Is he an honest man and a man of conviction? We'll talk about that in a minute, but I'm not going to bore you too much with that. We've done that before. I just want to make a couple of points. McDonnell said it's the media's fault, the way Corbyn has been represented. According to McDonnell, it can't be the fact that Jeremy has flip-flopped more times than Trump on his own core values. Now back to Europe and the European Union. A short time ago, Sky News presenter Adam Bolton, not a very nice man, I don't think, and certainly conservative to the bone, gleefully interviewed Shadow Foreign Secretary Emily Thornberry and goaded her about Corbyn's and Labour's chances in the upcoming election. This is how that went.
Let's speak now to the Labour Shadow Foreign Secretary, Emily Thornberry. Do you welcome being on the doorstep and saying to people, look, the choice is Jeremy Corbyn or Theresa May, and actually Jeremy Corbyn would be a better Prime Minister?
I certainly say that Jeremy Corbyn would be a better Prime Minister, and the reason I say that is because I say to people, look at the way in which Theresa May has been behaving over the last couple of days. Look at the way in which she's talked about there being a conspiracy in Europe against Britain. How paranoid and how peculiar that behaviour is, and yet this woman wants to be Prime Minister and wants to lead negotiations in Europe. Frankly, if we're going to get a proper Brexit, if we're going to get a proper strong Brexit, then we need to have somebody who is prepared to actually talk to friends and be able to find a compromise and be able to say, look, we both have a problem, Europe has a problem, Britain has a problem, let's find a solution together. But the sort of things that Theresa May has said means that they can't be unsaid. And actually, I don't think that does any good for Britain. I think that we are heading for a very bad deal. We're not heading for the sort of strong Brexit that we need. And a strong Brexit is one that looks after people's jobs and people's living standards and the economy. And if we can't find any agreement, if we're falling out as badly as this, when negotiations haven't even begun, I think people ought to be profoundly worried.
Well, let's be clear about this. David Davis, the Brexit minister, says that the account given by the EU side of the meeting with Theresa May, the dinner, was inaccurate and designed to damage the British position. Only this morning we've had Jean-Claude Juncker saying he's not going to speak English because English is becoming less important as a language. Surely you need a strong leader who actually doesn't describe people behaving like that as friends, but actually stands up to them.
A negotiation is a negotiation, right? We cannot simply walk off in a huff. We cannot simply sail off into the... We can't sail off into the mid-Atlantic saying, well, you know, if you're going to be mean to us, then we don't want to talk to you.
What I'm saying is, if you've got people... If you have people who are deliberately insulting the British, the English language, and trying to do down their negotiating position, surely you have to answer back to that.
And he was talking about Jean-Claude Juncker, who said today that English is losing importance in Europe, the English language. He was talking in Florence, Italy, and he said, slowly but surely, English is losing importance in Europe, and also because France has an election, he said, explaining his choice of using French. Can we hear some of that?
I'm hesitating between English and French, but I made my choice. I will express myself in French. because slowly but surely English is losing importance in Europe, and then the French will have elections on next Sunday. And I would like them to understand.
Jean-Claude Juncker speaking earlier today. That's what he was referring to, Adam Bolton, when he was speaking with Thornbury. It's important stuff. As to the real Jeremy Corbyn, and again, the claims by John McDonnell that Jeremy was misrepresented in the media, and it's the media's fault that people don't know the real Jeremy Corbyn. Have a listen to a snippet of my conversation with his brother Piers. I'm attempting to explain to Piers, who's a terrific guy, Piers Corbyn, really, really good guy. I'm trying to explain to him why, in my opinion, democracy doesn't work, why I've not voted in a general election since 2002. And I think Piers sums up perfectly what happened to his brother and why so many people who voted for Jeremy Corbyn nearly 2 years ago to lead the Labour Party after the wipeout of Ed Miliband in the 2015 election, why so many of them are disillusioned with Jeremy. Listen to a snippet of this. It's really telling. Now, I will go to the ballot box the day a man or a woman stands in the public spotlight and says three things, four things. And I'm going to be very, very quick with these. Number one, our intelligence agencies invent terror groups in countries like Syria and elsewhere to destroy those countries in order that we can then provide the solution and go in, replace the democratic government with a dictator of our choice and steal all the resources in those countries. That's number one. The day a man or woman looks...
That's true. Yes, ISIS, John McCain, there you are.
There you go. Number two, when a politician says, we can no longer tolerate Israeli agents working through our parties, through the Conservative Friends of Israel, through the Labour Friends of Israel. We have politicians who swear allegiance, as they do in America, to the State of Israel. That's no longer tolerable. And number three, and finally number three, when a man or woman stands in front of a television camera at Westminster and says, the idea that we borrow money from central banks is abhorrent. These banks lend money into existence. We will create money. We won't use quantitative easing, but we will create money as we see fit for building houses in this country and building public services. That's how we will do it. We won't borrow money at interest from criminal Rothschild banks or Rockefeller banks anymore. The day a man or woman stands on television and says that, Piers, I will vote for them. And here's my
I agree with all of those.
I know you do.
I'm sure Jeremy agrees with me. Well,
this
well.
Is I mean, it, you see.
About banks.
This is it. Hallelujah. This is the cheap point I was going to make. Your brother believes all of that, and yet he won't say it on television. And it wasn't really a cheap point I was making. It was a fair point I was making about the positions held by Jeremy Corbyn, as opposed to the policies he's pursued as the Labour leader. I'm not going to dwell on it because you've heard me say it before and I don't want to keep repeating myself. Jeremy was anti-EU, anti-privatisation, anti-Zionist. What he became, I believe, is a mumbling, stuttering shadow of the man who stood against internment in Northern Ireland, internment without trial, who stood against the destruction of Gaza, who stood against Zionism, who stood against privatisation, who these days panics in the face of accusations of anti-Semitism, threw Ken Livingston under the bus, didn't he? And he sat quietly by while the hateful, despicable warmonger Hillary Benn stood up in the parliamentary debate and advocated bombing Syria. Jeremy sat there twiddling his thumbs. And the sadness is, and we keep going down this road, no matter how many times people get screwed over by one of these heroes of the left, socialists, they'll keep going back. They'll keep going back. They'll keep going back. The next time somebody comes along, like Bernie Sanders or Jeremy or somebody else, they'll vote for them. They'll march with them, they'll advocate for them, and they'll scream abuse at anybody who says to them, no, it's not going to work. There's no democracy. There can never be any change in this system. And I repeat, it's my belief that he will be wiped out, Jeremy, in the general election. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But if I'm wrong, there's something seriously wrong. And I know you're shouting at the radio, God, you can't lose then, Richie. You're right when you're wrong, and you're right when you're right. No. These local election results, you know, indicate it's going to be catastrophic. It's going to be Michael Foot-esque. So it's as much his fault as it is the corrupt media, who have tried to undermine him from day one, but he didn't fight against it, did he really? He's establishment to the bone. However he started out, he's establishment to the bone. We see this in France. Did a show last week explaining, using research, great research by other men and women, explaining how Le Pen is as owned by the elite as Emmanuel Macron, who'll probably just about win, but you never know. Le Pen might win, I doubt it, but she might do. She's just another Trump, isn't she? I repeat what I said earlier on. When Corbyn is gone, he'll be replaced by a David Miliband, Tony Blair-type centrist, which might have implications for the UK exiting the European Union in the future. We'll watch that, of course, and we'll report on it, and we'll continue to tell you what the media doesn't. Special Richie Allen Show live today. It's exactly 26 minutes past the hour. I'm going to take a very quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Russia, Turkey, Iran, and their plans for safe zones, or at least kind of ceasefire zones in Syria. Tell you more about that in a minute.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not been seen by the doctor or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they're doing.
Traffic 2, available now at premiumonpictures.co.uk.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
Welcome back. 28 minutes past the hour. Friday, May 5th, The Richie Allen Show, unusually on Friday. There will be Sunday View this coming Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Then we're back to normal next week with shows every night. But the television show begins next Thursday. OK, so from now on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, live radio Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, live TV show on Thursday. Can't wait for that. Tell you more about that on Sunday and Monday. Now, the UN Secretary General has commended the memorandum on 4 security zones in Syria. There's a memorandum signed and agreed by Russia, Turkey and Iran. This memorandum and these security zones were agreed at the Astana peace talks. Saudi Arabia said it was in favour of such zones, but it wanted more details. Saudi Arabia said, we're in favour of such zones, but wanted more details. Saudi Arabia will say what it's told to say by Tel Aviv and Washington, of course. Now, this is really interesting, this, the timing of this and what's really behind it. Here's RT's Lizzie Phelan explaining it in some detail. This report filed last night, but pay attention to it. It's very good.
Significant developments today in Astana. The main brokers of those talks, Russia, Turkey and Iran, have signed a memorandum of understanding on the Russian proposal for de-escalation zones in Syria that effectively will see four areas in Syria freeze the fighting between opposition and government forces. That will include, crucially, an end to airstrikes by the Syrian and Russian air forces on opposition groups. As usual, excluded from this agreement are internationally listed terrorist organizations, Islamic State and Al-Qaeda's affiliate in Syria, the formerly named Al-Nusra Front. These de-escalation zones will be secured by the guarantor states. There's plans for checkpoints and observation posts to be set up along de-escalation lines that will allow civilians and humanitarian access, free movement in and out of those zones, which effectively should bring an end to those crippling sieges that we've seen be used time and again as one of the most powerful weapons in the Syrian conflict. Now, the key points of this plan is that it will effectively shift the responsibility to so-called moderate rebels to fight against those extremist groups, as I said, ISIL and the formerly named Al-Nusra Front. So this plan effectively builds upon previously agreed ceasefires and will enable parties monitoring those ceasefires to more easily differentiate between the so-called moderate opposition and those extremist groups. Now, the rest of the details of this plan for de-escalation will be hammered out by the end of May. And the plan is that this agreement will last for 6 months, although that time limit can be extended. One of the first to welcome these developments in Astana today was the United Nations envoy to Syria, Stefan de Mistura.
Do you know, I think this is genius by the Russians. Now, I've not read Sun Tzu's The Art of War. I'm no tactician. I know very little about military manoeuvrings. But I think this is genius by the Russians and the Iranians. And they've talked Turkey into going along with it. And I'll tell you why I think it's genius. Because we know there are no moderates in Syria. It is a nonsense. The rebels and Islamic State are one and the same. Hear me now. They are foreign mercenaries paid by, trained by and armed by the intelligence agencies of this country, America and Israel. They are. And that's what Putin is trying to demonstrate here, I think. Well, one of the things anyway, it's complicated, but I think it's one of the things. I think it might be Putin's finest hour in terms of what's happened in Syria, because he's seen the false flag claims made against Assad, you know, the claims that Assad killed all these people, 100 people with chemical weapons. Yesterday we learned that... Well, the BBC said yesterday that intelligence agencies are now saying Assad has continued to make chemical weapons. No proof has been offered. And Putin has watched all of this, and he has seen the war drums being beaten in Washington, D.C., in Tel Aviv, and in London. Because all of these bullshit claims about chemical weapons are a prelude, of course, to war on Syria. So what Putin is doing is absolutely brilliant. Let's create these areas, these four key areas, okay? These security zones. Let's enable peace in those areas. Let's calm things down. We'll stop bombing the insurgents, the Islamic State, the terrorists. I think it's brilliant. He's seen the false flag claims against Assad, and he's raised them with this. Now, since I came on air at noon, there's been no word from the United States on it. Not since I came on air, but we'll watch it very closely to see where it's going. I think it's a very clever move indeed, though I'm certainly no expert. 26 minutes to the top of the hour to 1 p.m. on Friday, May 5th, 2017. This is your Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, and TuneIn Radio, as well as richieallen.co.uk. You've been tweeting me, hello, good morning. Good morning to Tiger, and a massive thanks to Tiger for making a donation to the Richie Allen Show yesterday. Tiger, thanks so much for that. I really appreciate it, mate, more than you know. Hi to Gail as well, to Luga, to Brian Broderick, to Spirit Samba. Let's move on down to James Gerard, to Kate Coley. Kate tweets this, and she's referring to the McCann family. This week saw the 10th anniversary of the abduction of Madeleine McCann. Kate tweets, if somebody screams, the effing bastards have taken her, does it imply they knew who they were talking about? Hypothetical, tweets Kate. Kate, I say, in absolute truth, I have no idea. I would love to interview the McCanns, and I would have some questions for them. You know, questions that they wouldn't have been asked on BBC, ITV or Channel 4, but I would ask them respectfully, is what I would do. Hi to Paul Fretwell as well, and hi to Mwinga Mwinga. Great Twitter name there. How you doing, Mwinga? Could be a real name for all I know as well. Thanks for tuning in. Hi to Tiberius Kirk, old friend of the programmes as well. To Paul Alawi. How you doing, Paul? Feathers are us to sparkle. To Alan Bristow. Alan and Lee Gillies, good morning. Good afternoon, even. Thanks to so many of you. And Shell Potter as well. So many of you to tune into the programme at short notice. I really appreciate the fact that you pay attention and you listen to our guests and the information, and at least you give it a chance. Thank you for doing that. Now, Question Time is a famous BBC One Thursday night debate programme. It's a panel show, a panel of politicians, businessmen and businesswomen, and occasionally celebrities are asked questions on current events by a studio audience. You also get journalists on the panel as well. Now, one of the questions on last night's show was about food banks in the UK. Very, very serious question, very serious issue. Here's the question from the audience member.
The use of food banks has dramatically increased under this Tory government. Should we hang our heads in shame that as one of the richest countries in the world, people are queuing for food?
Yeah, you've heard me and guests on this programme before, including Professor Alex Scott-Samuel declare, not when I say I said it, doesn't mean anything that I said it. Jesus, I'm not getting a big head here. But we have said before, the country is a failed state when its citizens must go to food banks, when children must go to food banks to be fed. Good question. So what were the answers? One of the panellists on the programme last night was Jürgen Meyer. Now, Jürgen Meyer is the CEO of Siemens in the UK, the CEO of Siemens. Here's Jürgen Meyer answering the question, isn't it a shame, isn't it a disgrace that in one of the richest countries in Europe, people are going to food banks? This was his answer.
Yeah, well, I mean, the answer is it's a real, quite a tragic situation, isn't it, that we've not been able to raise living standards and we have more in-work poverty than we have had before. However, you know, we need to find a solution to that. And this is definitely an issue where, you know, we need to really raise above party politics. And there is a really, really fundamental issue here. And that is that we have for decades actually not focused on what is it that generates wealth in this country. And one of the key things that generates wealth is manufacturing. It's high technology industries which export, which create high value jobs, which creates productivity. And through those mechanisms, we can actually raise wages, we can raise living standards. And we have not had a strategic approach for that, which has to be long term. So it has to be across governments for a very, very long time. And we need a much, much stronger focus on that. And only through that can we start raising living standards again.
Right, Jürgen Meyer there from Siemens. He said it's a tragic situation. He couldn't imagine it. But then neither can I. I mean, I've had financial difficulties in my life, but I've never gotten to the point where I thought I'd be homeless or I thought I'd need to go to a charity for food. And God love those who do need to do that, by the way. He said manufacturing, he said productivity, wages, prosperity. We've had no strategic approach. Manufacturing is basically dead in the UK, he said. No strategic approach. But I contend, and I have done on this programme for 2.5 years, it's deliberate. And the answer to the lack of strategic approach to rebuilding manufacturing in this country, the EU. Because the UK before the EU, and I've talked about this before but not recently, was the most successful, or one of the most successful countries in Europe, in fact in the world, in terms of manufacturing. Since Britain joined the EU, well, I was thinking about this today, and it's something I know a little bit about, and I was thinking, you can look at any UK industry, any industry in this country, and you will find something. You will find some issue, some problem, where that industry has been damaged by the UK's membership of the European Union. Here's a couple of facts. Here's a couple of facts for you. The UK used to enjoy fishing areas 200 miles from the coast. That's the coast 360. 200 miles under the terms under which the UK entered the European Union. The distance was cut to 12 miles. British fish catch was down to 756,000 tons 3 years ago. A 19% decline since 1998. 200,000 jobs gone. 2 billion quid a year gone down the toilet. 2 billion quid and nearly 200,000 jobs. Not to mention thousands of tons of fish being discarded because of quotas. Thousands of tons of fish being chucked into the sea because of quotas. Look it up. Any way you like it. It's a fact. Remainer, Ramoner, Brexit, Brexiteer. It's a fact. What I'm telling you is a fact. Irrefutable fact. Chucking fish into the sea. People are going to food banks. That's the EU. 12% of the world's clinical trials used to take place here. Now the UK carries out 1%. Why? The EU Clinical Trials Directive. Look it up. Steel industry destroyed by the European Union. I'll tell you what, we'll talk about steel in a minute. But when James O'Brien and scum like him and Ian Dale and others try to embarrass people who call in to their pathetic, useless, moronic talk programmes, and they try to embarrass their callers by mocking them and asking their callers to name a bit of EU legislation that's affected the European, excuse me, affected the United Kingdom, knowing damn well that the poor bastard is nervous about being live on national radio, and he starts to stumble and starts to think, and he can't think because he's under pressure, and the presenter who's used to talking on radio lies by saying, you can't tell me one piece of legislation. I've given you two. The EU Clinical Trials Directive, the fisheries policy. Steel industry in this country, destroyed by the European Union. EU state aid rules prevent the UK government from helping out the nation's steel companies. European Union law says Parliament can't help dying companies within its own border. Steel prices in Europe at their lowest levels, kept low by the European Union. To destroy steel manufacturing in this country. Britain can't compete. It's cheaper to import steel than it is to produce it in the UK because of European Union regulation. And I was thinking about this today before coming to talk to you, and I do get very passionate about it. Without exaggerating, that's a million good jobs, at the very least, gone. Jobs paying men and women who would spend in their cities and in their communities. And Jürgen Meyer, the CEO of Siemens, knows this as well as anybody. I'd love Jürgen Meyer to read The Perception Deception or Phantom Self by David Icke to see it's deliberate. It's the planned Hunger Games society. No strategic planning to deal with manufacturing, said Jürgen Meyer. Can't happen because of the European Union. And it's meant to be like that. Deliberate. Now, I'm nobody important. And I'm no genius. but I'm bright. I'm pretty bright. And I know that if the government paid local building firms around the country to build 2 million homes for people on low incomes, while at the same time giving building companies money to build public services, hospitals and whatnot. Imagine it. Giving building firms, not corrupt, you know, not people in the pay of or people who donate to political parties, but give local firms in this country the money to build 2 million homes and to build hospitals and facilities for people in communities. Debt-free money issued by the government, by the way, not borrowed at interest from the Rothschilds or the Rockefellers. Can you imagine the boost to the economy? It would be massive. Professor Steve Keen has been on this programme. He confirmed that. I've had other economists on the programme over the years, absolutely confirmed it. 100% Richie. The country would take off like a rocket. 2 million homes, hospitals, better schools, better facilities in communities. Now on this programme last night, David Davis, Conservative, Brexit Secretary, was on the same programme, Question Time. And he bullshitted about unemployment being at an all-time low. He didn't talk about zero-hours contracts jobs, by the way. The Tories are creating record amounts of jobs and all that garbage. He didn't really want to talk about food banks. But David Dimbleby, the presenter of the programme, asked him this.
All right, when the Prime Minister appeared on Andrew Marr's programme, he quoted to her the Royal College of Nursing, saying that nurses were even turning to food banks, employed nurses were even turning to food banks. And her reply was, there are many complex reasons why people... What did that mean? Well, presumably people go to food banks because they're hungry.
People have short-term cash issues, I mean, all sorts of things. The complexity of individual people's lives is important, you know. So, of course, she was right. But that doesn't mean it's something you want to seek.
The main reason that people are going to food banks is because there are delays with pay and benefits, and there have been changes to Social Security with the pernicious Tory welfare reforms, which have cut money to people with disabilities. They've cut money to the children whose parents have been bereaved. They've cut money to any third or fourth or fifth child in a family unless the mother can prove that she was raped when that child was conceived. And if we give the Tories a bigger mandate in this election, we can see this get even worse. There'll be more people in food banks. Okay. We've got to stop.
Right, so the woman at the end there was Leanne Wood from Plaid Cymru, Welsh nationalist. That was her there. Now, remember, last year, we talked a lot about how the media, using documentaries like Benefit Street, you remember that disgrace, and articles in the Daily Mail, because every now and then the Mail has an article about how scroungers are earning tens of thousands of pounds a year on benefits. So we covered this, how the system was using these documentaries and these articles to brainwash people into despising the poor and to despising the disabled and blaming them for a shortage of public money, right? Well, I think that campaign is actually working. Listen to this audience member on Question Time yesterday.
I haven't visited a food bank before, but I have known people that have. And the vast majority of them that do go for free food smoke, drink and have Sky television. And that is the truth.
Some people use food banks who are in work.
Somebody disagreed with him here. Who was disagreeing? Oh, you're disagreeing. Are you up there? Okay, you disagree. Fire away.
I totally disagree. Last night I travelled through Wigan town centre to Hindley and I saw 10 people sitting in doorways, obviously not watching Sky. The benefit system, as we all refer to it, is the main reason people are falling out of society and living on the streets. Yeah. There's been an exponential increase in homelessness, and it's a purposely aimed policy, and you are partly responsible.
It's on purpose, you say, to achieve...
Can you give me another explanation?
I'm asking your explanation.
Well, I'm telling you, it's a purposely designed policy of creating more dis- dismay and discomfort. And this man is not an unintelligent man, and he knows what's going on.
I'd love to find that man and get him on this programme. Now, I don't blame the first guy who said that people who are going to food banks or smokers and they've got Sky television and all that garbage. It's what he's told on the news. He does sound like a heartless bastard, but he's brainwashed. But I love the second guy. I love them. It's on purpose, he said, to create more devastation and hardship. It's on purpose. That guy must be getting his information from programmes like this, not just this, but others, and websites like David Icke's. Good man. Would love to have him on the programme. But I can't, of course, identify him through the TV show. It's on purpose, he said. 110% right. It's 11 minutes to the top of the hour. Very quick break. When we come back, very interesting story on davidicke.com. Headlines today. I'll bring you that story. And we're fast approaching 1 p.m. Back in a minute.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain. A sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not been seen by the doctor or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they do.
Traffic 2. Available now at premiumonpictures.co.uk.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Right, you're very welcome back to the programme. You know, I have within the studio, I have the ability to look at where people are listening. And don't panic. There's no data protection issues here. We don't get anything, you know, all we get is a place. We don't get anything other than a place. But I can tell you today, I'm looking at it now and I'm stunned after 2.5 years at how far the programme reaches. We've listeners today listening in the UK, in Dublin, Ireland, in Carlinville, Illinois, in the US, in Shanghai, in China, in the Philippines, in Germany, in Australia, a place called Werribee, Australia. Let me just scroll down. There's quite amazing this, it really is. I'm not bragging. I really am not. It just stuns me. We've got listeners right now in Kuwait, in Delray Beach in Florida, in the US, in Russia, but it doesn't tell me where, in Esbjerg in Denmark, how extraordinary is that, in Pretoria, South Africa, in Mauritius, and El Segundo in California. We've people listening in right now from those areas. Isn't that just extraordinary? Amazing stuff. Tiger tweets, benefits are little more than subsidising industry so they don't have to pay a living wage. Taxpayers cover that as well. 7.5 minutes to the top of the hour. Cheers for that, Tiger. Now, finally today, and thanks for tuning in, by the way. I really enjoyed this programme, and I look forward to speaking to you again on Sunday morning with Sunday View in association with davidicke.com live at 11 a.m. on Sunday. I'm going to finish with this, which is very positive. Paul Craig Roberts and myself speaking about the Zionist influence on the US last night, among other things. Those interviews not yet on YouTube. Simon had a problem, a technical issue with that, but they will be on YouTube later. But here's a good story I got from davidicke.com headlines today. 2 in 5 Americans back economic sanctions or more serious actions against Israel over its continued construction of settlements on occupied Palestinian land, which is a crime under international law. Now, this is from a new poll. 2 in 5 Americans are pissed off. They've had enough of illegal settlements. They want to see more punishment of Israel. 56% among Democrats back economic sanctions or tougher actions on Israel. The poll produced other remarkable findings that underline the fact there is growing public opposition to the United States' support of Israel. Commissioned by professors Shibli Telhami and Stella Rouse of the University of Maryland, and conducted by the firm Nielsen of Scarborough, the survey asked more than 2,000 respondents their views on key foreign policy issues. More than half, 54%, say the US should be even-handed, leaning neither towards the Israelis or Palestinians, a figure that shoots up to 72% among Democrats. Right now, 57% of respondents overall see the US leaning too much towards Israel. Very positive stuff. But do listen back to Paul Craig Roberts from last night. Do check out my many chats with Cynthia McKinney, the former Georgia congresswoman, on this issue to understand the Zionist takeover of the US. And listen to my very recent interview with George Galloway, who explains how Zionism has taken over the political landscape here. Something Jeremy Corbyn used to talk about, didn't he? Didn't he, one time? God love him. That's it, really. I've got nought else to tell you. I've been at this since the crack of dawn. I'm not looking for any sympathy, but I have been. I'm looking forward now to getting out into sunshine after I get this programme on podcast and after I get it up on YouTube. So there you go. So don't forget, got some really good guests lined up for you next week. Got a terrific week from Monday on the programme lined up. The TV show kicks off live next Thursday. In the meantime, in the meantime, you and I will be talking again on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. BST, British Summer Time, 11 on Sunday. That's on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, TuneIn Radio, and my own website. I want to say, I want to send best wishes to Jen Crosby in California. Jen is a friend of the programme's, and her mother surely hasn't been well of late and is in hospital at the moment undergoing treatment. So I want to send out positive thoughts to Jen and to Shirley and hope that her situation improves really quickly over the next few days. We're thinking of you, Jen, and everybody else who listens to this programme who might be ill at this time, might be going through a bad time. Keep your chin up, keep your spirits up, and know that there are people out there looking out for you. So look, have a great weekend then. To find out more about what's going on and the information you're not being given by your own media, do stay in touch with davidicke.com/headlines. That's davidicke.com/headlines. That's where you'll get all the info you need. I've been Richie Allen. This programme was produced, edited and introduced by me. I've loved having your company. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll speak to you on Sunday. Bye for now. Have a good one. Enjoy yourself. Get out in the sunshine. Have a great weekend. See you soon. Bye.
Time in the world, time enough for life to unfold all the precious things love has in store. We have all the love. If that's all we have, you will find we need nothing more. Every step of the way will find us with the care. For love, nothing more, nothing less. Oh.